You ain't think about it. You ain't
Chad ain't
about
worried
it.
About no girls either.
But when he catch that first one.
That's what I think about Chaz. Chaz about to give a pure D hell.
He hunching legs already.
No, but man, that, when I saw that he had to push his down to get in the toilet, he just sit down. I'd be like, you don't gotta push, man. That fall straight down. I'd be like, you might got me.
Somebody told me.
Bro.
Somebody.
You're stupid, bro.
That's what somebody told me.
I don't know. Chaz got his granddaddy. That shit skipped over me.
It skipped over a generation.
Chaz got his granddaddy. I walked. It's crazy. I was talking about this. I walked on my daddy yesterday.
He was naked?
I had to go, because I keep all the pivot Jack Daniel bottle, I keep it in the guest room closet. And they stand in the guest room. So I had to take it to work. So I was giving out bottles of the pivot shit to everybody at work for Christmas. And then I asked his wife, I was like, where's dad? She's like, oh, she's back there showering. I was like, okay, I just run in, grab out the closet, and run out. And I walked in that room, that big standing there naked. And you know, to this day, if you walking on me naked first, I'll be like I cover up. Man, I walked in the door, that jump. Chan, what's up, bubba? Big flipping around. Like, hey, swear to God.
Do you think part of it is the fact that he can't see you?
He knew, even if by my eyes, if I had soap in my eyes and I'm in the shower and I hear the door open, you naturally like cover up your privates. Man, that nigga cover up nothing. That nigga just said, Chan, hey. Chan. Hey. So what's up, Pop? Yeah, man, you good? I'm not good anymore. You just ruined my self-esteem.
Hey, you know what too, Chan? That comes from years of not being nervous about it.
That's what you know what I'm saying? Like you.
He been so proud of it his whole life, it was never a reflex or a reaction that he developed. Exactly.
That's crazy. Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On the mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. Only vision I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On the mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. Well, golly, Chan. That's a start. You know what I mean? Thank God the pivot didn't skip a generation. This is our Friday show. It's the three-man joints, myself, Freddie T, and Chan. You got a comedy show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
your comedy shows. Are you excited? You ready?
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm not, people say, am I nervous? I don't think I'm nervous. I'm anxious. Like, I want to get started. I want to get on this. I want to get the mic. I want them to play. Y'all know who I'm coming out to, right?
Mm-mm. You don't even like music.
I know, but this song gives me chills every time it turns on. Let me see. I don't got bad reception.
So you coming out to a song that you don't actually have saved on your phone?
No, I'm on YouTube.
YouTube?
Y'all have a...
You don't have, like, iTunes on your phone?
No, I don't waste my memory with that.
Spotify, maybe?
What is that?
Spotify is an app where you can play music and get, like, podcasts, like The Pivot, on as right. Well.
And Apple. You don't have Apple Music?
No.
Subscription?
I don't listen to music. That's a distractor.
Would you like to tell me the song so I can find it for you?
Yeah, it's called Bam.
Oh, you talking about
hey,
the
Siri,
Jay-Z song?
Oh, man.
Play Jay-Z Bam.
Thank you.
You talk to the...
You don't talk to your phone either, huh? I don't
man,
talk to
I don't
to
know how to use that
it
shit.
It might be the area in here.
Yeah, see? Now y'all want to make fun of me, Spotify, Siri. Oh, yeah.
Well, I gotta say, you do love this song. This is the one rap song you love.
Bro, it's just the realest song ever made.
Do you have to have a walkout song for a comedy?
Yeah. As soon as they hear the song, everybody gonna start cheering. I'm gonna let it run for about 10, 15
What if they don't cheer? What if they don't cheer for you?
They gotta cheer, it's me.
They don't have to cheer.
They're gonna cheer.
They could let you just walk out to nothing. That could be their joke.
They ain't gonna do that. I'm me.
So what's the name of it? It's Uncensored?
Uncensored, yeah.
Uncensored. Yeah. Are you going to give us, can we get like a preview of maybe some of the themes that are going to be in it? What
it's
stories will be told?
Extremely unacceptable. Mm. Extremely. It's like as I'm saying it, like I'm cringing saying it.
Is it teeter-tottering on the cancel culture of comedy?
Oh,
because
very
much. That's the best comedy.
Very much. Yeah, I'm giving the crowd a safe word. I'm giving them a safe phrase because when it gets too uncomfortable, I don't want people to start hee hawing. So I'm gonna give them something to say, like, "Hey, you're going too far. Pull it back."
Pineapples is
that's
the,
how
what's,
bad.
What's the safe word?
Fuck you, Chan.
That's what your daddy tell you.
That's why it makes me feel comfortable inside. So it almost helps me out. Like when I start going too bad, and then I'm gonna tell him, like, hey, if it gets too crazy, just yell, fuck you, Chan. And I know I've reached a point in your heart that you're not comfortable being at that place. Yeah. So fuck you, Chan is the safe word for the crowd.
So it seems as if Draymond should have had a safe word.
Draymond hit that bitch in his jaw.
I want to think Draymond's safe word might have been all of y'all, because he doesn't care.
Draymond act like he ain't know he hit that man in his jaw. Bro, Draymond's crazy.
No, he's not.
What's he doing?
He's not crazy.
I know he's not crazy, but, like, is he losing ability and now going somewhere else? Because he's always been wild. We know about him kicking people in the crotch and all that. But now it seems like this is every single game.
You got it, Freddie.
There's a quote, I think, by Mario Andretti. He says something like, if you're under control, you're not going fast enough or something crazy like that. But he was a race car driver. And I think for Draymond, it just seems like there's a lack of control. They say he's a good dude, first and foremost. I want to say they say he's a good dude. I never met him, so I don't know. But on the court, he seems like an asshole. You know, he's selfish because of the position he's leaving his teammates in, and his team. I mean, you're there to win. They pay you that amount of money to win. And I just think these actions are selfish acts, whether they say they're under control or not, whether he says, well, I apologize because, you know, I don't apologize to nobody for the stuff that I do. Yeah, whatever. It's not a good look for the league, and they're tired of the antics. Everybody's tired of the antics. What I post, the Draybo thing, like Draybo. And I just think he has to take this time off to go figure it out. I think it'll be good for him. Well, at least I'm hoping.
But what's he figuring out? He choked the hell out the big Italian boy, or the Frenchman.
He's French.
He choked the hell out of Gobert. Mm-hmm. And now he's hitting the man in the face. Like, we've always known that he had an edge. Like, he had an edge. I love him. I love Draymond. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But, like, to Freddie's point, like, now it is you're a habitual line stepper. Why have he got to this point in his career is my thing.
They say that Rich Paul, Mike Dunleavy, the general manager, and Draymond are all meeting to figure out some form of counseling. I don't think he needs counseling. I just think he has poor competitive impulse control. It would be one thing to me if Draymond Green was brandishing guns on video, if Draymond Green was getting calls for domestic abuse, mm-hmm. if Draymond Green was facing accusations of being a deadbeat dad and not taking care of his kids. Draymond Green doesn't have that. Draymond Green ain't fighting at restaurants.
Correct.
Right? Draymond Green isn't some menace to society. Draymond Green does stupid things when he steps on the hardwood or in between the lines or in gyms when it comes to controlling himself as it pertains to his profession. You don't need counseling for that. You need to be a freaking adult, and you need to be a professional, mm-hmm. period. It's not about apologizing to people for your actions. And we got to think, Draymond didn't get suspended. Okay, so Draymond's first suspension was in 2016. Mm-hmm. Then his next suspension, or one of the next two, was because he got too many technicals, right? So when we start to see this pattern of Draymond becoming an issue is you knock out Jordan Poole. You also have the Sabonis incident where you step on Sabonis, the Rudy Gobert incident where you choke him during the fight, and now this. And honestly, this one is the stupidest one. This one is 100% to me. What Draymond Green did to Nurkic is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And it's stupid because this is one of the more cowardly things Draymond Green has done, right? Like the Jordan Poole thing is definitely over the line. It was definitely too much. It was definitely too aggressive. It was definitely unprofessional. But these are two men standing in front of each other talking crap, and you swung on them. Do I think it's wrong? Absolutely. But that I understand. But it's cowardly because, one, he wasn't pushing you. Two, you're behaving as if you didn't mean to do it. Now, did you mean to land one on his jaw? Maybe not. But the action of turning around, swinging your fist, you meant to hit him. And you meant to hit him in a way that could be considered accidental and hoping that because it's considered accidental, it wouldn't be flagrant, right? When that's not intelligent, because your resume and your career and your history is automatically going to lead people to think that you did it intentionally, so why do it? And that's why I say it comes to decision-making and impulse control in between the lines.
But that's the thing. Is he trying to prove he's tough? Because one thing, y'all know, you know it, at Steelers, you play with some tough humans. They didn't have to always prove they're tough because people know they're tough. When you know somebody's tough, you don't have to prove it to anybody. It seems like, and I just said, you bring up 2016 and the multiple technicals, he's emotional. But the Jordan Poole situation, the Gobert situation, and now with Nurkic, it seems that he's trying to prove something to the world. The man's been in the league for, what, 12, 13? But like, what is he, like, why does he keep pushing it to that level? What is he trying to prove to anybody?
What of those incidents proves toughness? Now, I was very clear about my Rudy Gobert thought. I thought I didn't have a huge problem with it, right? Like, I do a UFC podcast. If you really choke somebody for that long, they go to sleep. Yeah. If you do it the right way, right? He grabbed him, he roughed him up. Rudy Gobert flailed because that's what basketball players do. Now, was it slightly excessive? Yeah, but you're jumping in. It's an actual altercation. I'm fine with that. Like, but this one, the Sabonis one, doing these things purposely in attempt to make them look accidental. Like, what does that prove? Because it doesn't prove your toughness because you're not stepping up and saying, as a man, I'm intentionally doing that.
Right, there's no excuse for it. You know, some comments last night, people were talking about, well, the league has been too hard on him. I don't know if they're being hard enough because he's a repeat offender. I think he's number two all time in flagrant fouls. I mean, yeah, or ejections because of flagrant fouls. And KD made during this interview, KD talked about, I hope he seeks the help that he needs. This is a former teammate saying he needs help. You know, so we on the outside looking in, we can see and speculate and come up with our own thoughts, and they're valid, right? But I think Draymond is just, he's completely out of control. What'd you call it?
He has poor professional impulse control.
That would be the second thing. And everything else is just in the can. He could be even auditioning for a post-career because he's fucking going to fucking MMA or some shit because
he's going to be amazing on TV because he's extremely intelligent.
Very much.
He's extremely articulate. But I don't know if he's out of control, though. You know, like we've had this conversation.
He has to be. You're kicking people in the crotch. He's hitting LeBron up under here. This is all outdoor.
Freddie T.
A lot of it is.
But Freddie T.
This seems to be out of control.
Yeah, but my point is this: if he walked up into you in what is it, Western Florida, and yep. smoke on the water and kicked you in your nuts, I'd say he was out of control. We've spoken about someone we all know, and how that person had a certain issue that he cast off as something else, and there was a reason behind it, and because of that reason, the world forgot it happened. Mm-hmm. Right, and forgot it was a thing. And we all said, I don't really agree with that from the point of that's how your anger starts because it doesn't start all the time with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is, I do believe Draymond makes bad decisions in those competitive situations and in the heat of those moments or in that forum. But like, when have we, and maybe I just didn't find it or I just haven't heard it, where is Draymond away from basketball problem? Where is it? Like, who are the people that run up on Draymond and say, man, Draymond stole on me? I don't hear it. And so to me, it's about that particular thing. Like, even being around football players, is like, I know they would hit that switch. Now, he plays a different sport, right? But it's being like, I know they hit that switch, and I know they had it in them, but people had to bring it out of them when we were away from it. And when I saw him on that grass, it was this. It was like that, and it was with everybody. You know what I mean? Like, the same thing, like, I don't like disrespect, you know, in that way, right? And so, like, I get into a lot of conversations about respect in real life, but I don't fight, right? Or I don't just put my hands on people. Whereas, like, in football, teammates, other people.
You can get it.
And like, and it wasn't just like within the rules. It's like, if we got to throw, we can throw. If I got to headbutt you, if I got to pop your helmet off at practice, like, I did those things. And so I'm not saying Draymond is right. I'm saying he's wrong. But I'm saying that, like, what is he going to counseling for? What is the counselor going to tell
him? That's the thing, though. What if there's a deeper underlying issue? It could be something as simple as some family issues that he hasn't spoken to publicly about. Like, I don't want to dismiss that, right? Because people can go through some shit and then act out in certain situations. Maybe he's back in the locker room. This is his safe place. And then when he gets on the court, the top pops off. He could be going through some shit. So when I say he's out of control, I mean just on the court. And his reactions, not thinking in those moments. You call it competitive impulse disorder or whatever the hell you want.
Whatever it is.
But he could be going through some shit, man. You can't dismiss that.
I'm with you, but I think everything Draymond does, he knows exactly what's going on. Draymond knows exactly what he's doing every time he does it. Draymond knows that stuff. For him to go and choke Gobert, for him to do what he's doing, Draymond knows what he's doing. To your point, when you snap, I bring up Peasy was on the show. Our boy Peasy. You know Peasy. We all know Peasy. I've been with Peasy. Joy Porter. Off the field. And I've seen that trigger go. And I'm like, okay, everybody's in trouble now, no matter if we at the club, at the Publix, at the Walmart, at the Piccadilly, at the goddamn dollar store.
Or on the field.
If Joey snaps, Joey's gone. You never hear Draymond snap off the field. Very intelligent. I watch his podcast. He never snaps. I think everything he does is not a snap. It's not a loss of consciousness.
Is it premeditated?
He knows, yes, it's premeditated.
Is he saying, I'm going to do some shit this
I
game?
I think, personally, Fred, I think, I just said it earlier, I think Draymond wants people to fear him. I think Draymond wants to be known as a tough guy, and he continues to try to do that at any venture, any intersection he can. He's going to show, you should fear me, I'm a tough guy. You can't do that shit no more.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. That, and this is my thought. Draymond Green is an intangible guy. Draymond Green isn't necessarily a tangible guy. Now, Draymond Green, to the untrained eye, is not as skilled as other basketball players. Draymond Green's extremely skilled. Draymond Green's extremely, extremely intelligent when it comes to basketball IQ. It's why he's been able to be in the league. But he's a rebounder, a defender, and it turned into a team, like, all jokes aside, to a team where your two best players are extremely light-skinned. Mm-hmm. He turned into the enforcer. He turned into the tough guy. And I think over time, that's amplified, right? Because also what happens is, the more successful we get, the more productive we get, the more money we get, the more we become some of those things. And I think now it's gotten to the point to where it is too much, and you got to try to find a way to rein it back.
Brings me to another thought. Is he a game changer or difference maker or neither?
At this point in his career?
Yeah.
Neither. He's still good. He'll start on 90% of teams in the league, but he's not. You're not saying I bring Draymond in, that's going to push me to a championship anymore. Before, you're talking about, like, when they were winning, you're going to say he was winning, that pick and roll shit that he would do with them little light-skinned fellas? Extremely skilled, extremely
Draymond
smart basketball player.
Draymond Green was, at one point, one of the biggest difference makers in basketball. I'm sure this goes to Cam Newton's point.
Because I believe he's a game changer because his antics. It changes the outcome of the game, but, you know, because he's hurting his team.
Now there's the Cam Newton thing. Cam Newton called Tua Tagovailoa, Brock Purdy, and Dak Prescott. He called them all game managers. Right, not necessarily game changers. He mentioned the Lamar Jacksons of the world, the Patrick Mahomes of the world. And I think this is twofold, the conversation. There's obviously Cam's opinion, which we can get into. This is a sports podcast. And then the second thing is the vitriol he's received in people assessing his opinion.
Right.
Right, the people talking about who he is now and the fact that he wasn't great after 2018 and those things, everybody is allowed to have an opinion. And now with all these platforms, Freddie T, Chan, these opinions come from different places. Why do you think Cam Newton's opinion on game changers or not, or game managers or not, has been received so negatively?
Can I say something before we get into that? Because we'll go deeper with that one. He's talking about game changers and difference makers. I think recently Complex had you in a magazine as the 15th.
Sports personality thing?
Sports personality thing. They don't understand that you are both. I think you deserve to be higher in those rankings. You got any feedback on that?
I think it's really cool to be recognized, you know, and I look at a lot of those names. There are a lot of people I respect in the business. Shay Sharp was one.
Right.
Mina was 10, you know. Stephen A, I think, was ranked in top 10, was ranked in the top 10 as well. I think it's really cool, you know. It's been a, you know, you do a lot of work. I think it's awesome to be respected. It's awesome to be acknowledged. But y'all been around me long enough. What was the first thing I did when I saw the list? I looked at the 14 people in front of me.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. I want to know why.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what do they do better than me?
Mm-hmm.
What did Complex see in them that made them a better personality, that made them smarter, that made them more engaging, more entertaining? And so for me, it's like, well, 15 ain't good enough. And I think, you know, it's one of those things, it's extremely subjective, but it's also really cool because it's about competition, right? And you see like people, like they've been making these posts about people who are on the list and the way they feel about certain things and the things they do. And I love that. Like I love sport and I need sport in my life, right? One of the biggest things about us all is we lose such a big piece of competition when we lose whatever it was we've done since we were kids that people paid us to do for a living. And so now I'm excited, even more excited, because I didn't even know that was a thing.
See, but let me...
Well, we got grades?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You say you wonder why Complex put the 14 people ahead of you. One, you said it, it's opinionated, it's right. Subjective, and it's some bias in there too. Like, just naturally speaking, some people have been in the space and they come with certain antics and they're loud. And I think a lot of that is a carryover. You're not that. You're more subtle, definitely articulate. You are a difference maker. But I'll jump on the Cam thing. Cam has his opinion. No, he's played a position. And I think, as you mentioned, it's twofold because I believe Cam was speaking to from what he was as a player and what some other guys are and how dynamic they are. And when it's crunch time, you would say, I want my guy to have the ball and consider them a difference maker. The game changer thing, as it relates to that position and the guys he called out, this is what you want from your quarterback. You want them to understand situations. You want them to be on top.
You're saying the game manager or game changer?
Game manager. Game managers is what you want. Because the last time I checked, game manager and field general, it's the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing. You want to minimize turnovers, minimize mistakes, put your guys in position. Give them an opportunity to win. Remember when the Patriots would play you guys back in the day? They would go five wides against the Steelers, 3-4 defense, because they figured they didn't have the personnel, and they would fucking 5 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, 8 yards, boom, six cut, 18 yards, game manager, managing situations. And then eventually that becomes a game changer or a difference maker, because you're making a difference for your team. You're not putting your team, you're not hurting your team. So I think it's synonymous. They're the exact same thing. But as Cam was speaking to it, he was speaking from a perspective of, I need somebody to be dynamic and go get 80, you know, when it's on the line. And I made a comment. I said Tom Brady was the greatest game manager of all time. And they was like, Fred, you're wrong. You're wrong. I was in the backfield with Tom. I was in the meetings with Tom. I know what Belichick and what the team expected of Tom in situations. We go out, we start a drive, let's get a drive starter. That's managing the game. 5 yards, soften them up. 6 yards, soften them up. Bring them up, you hit them deep. That's managing the game. Taking advantage of what they give you is managing the game. You don't have to zone read and go get 25, 30. That's just explosive, exciting play.
No.
That doesn't mean you're a difference maker.
This is why Cam feels the way he does, honestly. Because Cam Newton carried teams on his back with less talent. You look at who he's looking at with Brock Purdy, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey.
Great point.
Them boys can play. Look at Tua with Tyreek Hill, an MVP candidate wide receiver. You know the motherfucker ain't gonna win because they ain't gonna give a wide receiver MVP. Jalen Waddle, Raheem Mostert leading the league in rush touchdowns. You look at what Cam did with less.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
And he still was winning. He still was the MVP with less. That's why Cam's looking at it like that. These dudes are just giving the ball to people that are great. What Cam did in Carolina, bro, real talk, that shit was Superman shit, and that's why he did that when he scored. Cam is looking, it's very myopic, because he's looking of it of, I was a better quarterback than you guys. Y'all have better numbers because y'all have better people around you. You're managing talent around you.
Why do you feel it was received that way from analysts and from people that really, they, like, people really went at
they
Cam's
say it was
head.
Hate.
Like,
they
even,
say
even
was
from,
hate.
Even from, like, my network that I work on to the Warren Sapps of the world, people really attacking Cam and saying, well, this is what you were in your last 3 years and all those things. Why do you think people went at who Cam was as a player instead of just speaking to his opinion and being able to say, no, I think Brock Purdy is this. I think Tua Tagovailoa is this. I think Dak Prescott is this.
I think it's because the opinion of the older players that haven't had success, you can always go back. Like Dan Marino. What are they going to say about Dan Marino all the time? Dan was great, huh? Dan, one of the best arm talents in the history of football. Dan is one of the best arms that's ever fallen out of a woman in the history of time. Never won a Super Bowl. Never won a Super Bowl. They always look for that knock. They always look to, honestly, to answer your question, people look to devalue others' opinions. And I think they're trying to devalue Cam. And let's be honest, being a black quarterback, being as eccentric as he is, being as outspoken as he is, people don't like that. People don't like what Cam stands for and how Cam is. But yeah, they're going to try to find a knock at Cam anytime he can. Let me ask y'all this. Honestly, let's go there. Prime Cam on the 49ers right now. Prime Cam with the Dolphins right now. That would be a better product than Tua and Brock Purdy. And everybody knows that, if you want to agree or disagree. You put Cam, when he won the MVP?
2015.
15? Put 2015 Cam on the Dolphins or the 49ers? Bro, unbeatable.
I agree with you on that. But to answer your question, I think when Superman can no longer fly, he's an easy target. Remember Cam made the comment, there's 32 quarterbacks in the NFL?
And all 32 aren't better than me.
Correct. And I think those type comments and being loud about it and then having an opportunity to go to New England following Tom, where they expected him to win or at least perform better than he did, they saw a steep decline in complete fall off.
Yeah, that team was fighting to get into the playoffs late into the season.
But now when Cam was benched, I don't know if it was
Matt Jones,
right. You know, you have a superstar player, all pro at former MVP, and then he's here, and now he comes across as disgruntled in the eyes of a lot of these analysts. And then he makes comments. And when he makes those comments, it seems that he's directing them at the people that were giving their opinion.
Right.
So now this is their opportunity to give their opinion back. And it just seems as if the comment comes across as, I can do better than those guys that you have here. And Prime Cam can. I believe that's what he was speaking
to.
And so
I think when I look at what Cam Newton said and the reaction to it, I think this way, first of all, everyone is talking about where Cam is now. And speaking from the fact that he's not on a team and that he may want to be on a team. Guess what? All of us that give our opinion, right, either can't play anymore, nobody wants us to play anymore.
Right.
And in some of these people cases, you never played because you couldn't play. So to speak about where Cam is making the comment from now is wrong, right? And to treat Cam as what I heard from somebody, to treat Cam as someone tweeting from their mother's basement is also wrong. because what Cam Newton's perspective is different. Cam Newton's perspective is over 700 first place Heisman votes because I had 48 touchdowns in the SEC. I led the SEC in rushing with 1,400 plus yards. I threw for over 2,600 yards. It's being rookie of the year with 4,000 yards passing, which was a rookie record.
14 touchdowns.
Right? 14 rushing touchdowns, right? Which was the most ever. Mm-hmm. It's in 2015, accounting for 45 touchdowns, 10 of those rushing. Mm-hmm. And doing it his rookie year with Steve Smith at age 32 as his number one receiver, a old Jordan Meshaki, a young Greg Olsen, a leading rusher who only had 800 yards. Doing it in 2015 with Devin Funchess and Glenn, right? And so when he's looking at these quarterbacks, you know what he could say? Of the three I named, only one of them won Rookie of the Year, and that's Dak Prescott. Of the three I named, only one of them have thrown for over 4,000 yards, which I did as a rookie, right? Of the three I named, none of them have ever won an MVP, right? And so when Cam Newton is looking at that, he's looking at it from that perspective. And in looking at it from that perspective, I don't agree with his opinion about Dak Prescott, but I do agree with his opinion about the other two in some ways. But my point is this, though. Why do we as analysts get to talk about that man like he wasn't one of the best we ever seen do it at one time? Because when I make a comment, I don't expect people to respond to my comment with, oh, you were an undrafted free agent safety. When other people on TV make a comment, you don't expect them to respond with, oh, you played basketball at an HBCU and you were just a reporter. Or you are a woman who just reports from the sideline. Or you are a quarterback that was a backup his entire career, right? Those personal attacks on Cam in his lows forget his highs. And as everybody is entitled to an opinion, I don't know if it's his platform, I don't know if it's his clothes, I don't know if it's his bravado, I don't know if it's his paint job. But Cam Newton saying that people are game managers, when you say it and hear it all the time on TV, that a guy like Kirk Cousins, for his entire career, everyone has called him a game manager and he's one of the richest quarterbacks that's playing football right now, it's wrong. And so when you speak on Cam and his opinion, talk about his opinion, because all of these people who are spewing this vitriol at who Cam Newton is today were never what Cam Newton was at his height. And that is the perspective and that is the perch in which he's making his assessment on, which is okay to make because all these people who now get paid to do it never did it like him and aren't doing it anymore. So it shouldn't matter where he's making the comment from.
Not bad-mouthing anybody. I always say, when you say this guy's good, you're not saying the guy's bad. I watch Matt Leiner talk about quarterbacks. I watch Dan Orlovsky, who's a friend of ours, went out to eat with him. I love Dan. I love his analysis. I love his breakdown. I love when y'all two fuck with each other on that little screen and y'all go back and forth. RG3 is talking about sports, talking about quarterbacking. I can go on and on about these quarterbacks. Alex Smith is on one of them shows in the morning show talking about quarterbacks. Cam Newton was better than all of them. Mm-hmm. That's no argument there. Cam Newton was better at football than all these quarterbacks that now have media careers. Why aren't they attacked? Every time Alex Smith says something, every time RG3 says something, why don't you question RG3 and Alex Smith? You went through why, his hair, his approach, his platform, what he's doing. It's in there, Ryan. I don't know where it is, but it's somewhere in what you just went through, Ryan, of why the fact that they attacked Cam Newton, who is better at this sport than every other quarterback that's on TV this day.
I think for me, watching it happen gave me perspective in how I speak about people, you know? And thinking back to the foundational start of, remember when I started thinking to myself, you are an undrafted free agent, you have to respect these people. You have to respect what they put into it, you have to respect what they do. And maybe there are times I forget that, but this reminded me, right? Because it's someone who I tell a story all the time, bro. When I saw Cam Newton in person for the first time was when I realized my time was running out. because
it took a big.
Because he walks by me in pregame at a preseason game, and I was like, who this mother effing DN? Right? And then you realize, oh hell, that's the quarterback.
Yeah.
I think we have to check ourselves in our opinions. You know, had he said that these boys couldn't play at all, I think that's different. Had he said negative things about him, or had he even said to at that time, I'm better now than all of those guys, I think that's a different situation, because now that draws attention squarely to you and where you sit. And now we could say, well, your last 3 years, you were this. Now, you know, you're not on a team. But to give that opinion, it's exactly what we do every day on TV, and none of us are playing basketball, football, baseball, soccer, whatever we are commenting on, because we can't no more. Because guess what? If you could, you would. You know, like, think about RG3, when the Cleveland job came open, says, like, they should pick me up. You should bring me in. You know, Joe Flacco, who you and I saw this summer,
yeah,
is now the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Most people, if you let them play, they still want to play. So to do this or to attack him like this because of his opinion, I felt like it was low-hanging fruit for people, and they knew that no one would necessarily defend him. Fellas, y'all know what time it is. We back to the picks. And for me, man, I gotta take Pittsburgh. We changed some things up. We're moving around the right way offensively, and we all know what their coach gonna do.
Freddie, you know you my ace. You know you my dog 20 years, baby. Baltimore is about to whoop Jacksonville this week.
Come on, man. Listen, I'm not going to be a homer. That's your pick. That's your pick. My pick, Buffalo-Dallas. Last week, I went the other way, and I took Philly. This week, I'm going to stay in Dallas.
You know what? I like it, man. You like an NFC East guy. But we all know the black and gold is where it starts. Oh, now to one of people's favorite topics, though. LeBron, when is the in-season tournament?
Oh, goodness gracious.
Right? They got the champagne flowing. No, you all know, I am a Jordan Kobe guy.
Yes.
LeBron James, period, has had the greatest NBA career of all time. Mm-hmm. Whether you think he's the greatest basketball player you've ever seen is debatable.
Well,
greatest career is not.
Individual? I mean, yes. Because, but then you have to throw in, how do you weight that? How do you quantify it? Because you got championships and then you got stats.
Well, I mean, I think to me, you can go to Bill Russell, who has that amount of championships, and it's difficult to compare eras, but I'm talking about the modern era and the things we've seen, right? Where being 6'11 didn't make you an anomaly, as Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain were at that time, in a time where the league is as competitive as it's ever been. Like, we've never seen a player this old play at the level LeBron James is playing at. You know, even if you look at the championship losses, those are still teams that he brought to the championship. He has enough championships to quantify him as a winner, but just individually, statistically, no one has started their career with as much scrutiny and exceeded expectations in many ways. And so I just think I think Jordan is still the greatest player I've ever seen. Just at his height, I don't think anybody was that much better than everybody around him.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody controlled the ebbs and flows of the league the way he did. After his rookie year, he was never outscored in the playoff series. You know, I think just the things, and there was no big moment, maybe other than Orlando, when Nick Anderson punches it out in the baseball, at the baseball season, that he failed in. So, but I think LeBron is also an easy target, because the conversation began that Kobe and Jordan wouldn't celebrate an in-season tournament win. Right? Now,
I don't know why it has to go there.
Yes.
What does it matter? They didn't have an opportunity to do it. You know what I'm saying? On both sides. What does this stupid-ass in-season tournament mean? It's silly. It's just a money grab to make people watch basketball before Christmas. That's all it is. We're going to create something so you watch basketball before Christmas. That's what the NBA did.
And it worked.
Yep. I did it too. Oh, man, these Spurs and these Lakers. I was watching games I shouldn't have been watching. The NBA.
We watched Indiana Pacers and the Lakers play a regular season
game. The Pacers. And this goddamn Halliburton, I don't know what he got up his ass. This motherfucker is playing ball right now. But I didn't know Halliburton until the in-season tournament. But the fact that what would Jordan and Kobe not do or do in the in-season tournament, they would celebrate. You got champagne in there. You got a trophy. They're going to do it. We saw Dame Lillard, and the Bucks got their ass whooped. But Dame Lillard went over and saw the trophy. If you give him a trophy, us three right now, if we start playing cards, we want to win. Put a trophy in it, we want to win more. And I don't think, to your point, I'm a Jordan guy too, most dominant player I've ever watched in my life. I will admit LeBron can do more. Mm-hmm. LeBron can guard 1-5. You ain't putting Jordan down in that paint. Jordan's not big enough. The things that LeBron can do exceeds what Jordan can do.
I would say this. Some of those things are nature.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, like some of those things are just how you're born. But there's also things like first team all defense, MVP, MVP of the finals, all those things that LeBron didn't accomplish ever in his career.
Yes.
Even with being able to guard 1-5, all NBA first teams and all that defensively. So,
and that's where the argument's there. Yeah. But to involve the in-season tournament
and compare
in this
it, though,
conversation,
why are we comparing it?
There's the apples. There was no opportunity for Kobe or Jordan
first off,
to have an in-season
100%,
tournament.
Both of those players would have played hard as hell to win it.
They would want to win.
Now, but you know what it comes down to though, the celebration. Right? Like, people think Bron is extra, which he is.
Very.
Right? But he grew up and he's a part of an era that crossed over into extraness.
Yes.
Right? And the one thing he's done as a player and as a human is adapt to whatever the trend is and just be, he's like Jay-Z. Like, I tell everybody all the time, I don't think Jay-Z is an innovative music maker. I don't. I don't think Jay-Z ever introduced a trend. I don't believe Jay-Z ever changed the sound of music. What he did was he found everybody that was doing music really well at that time. He did it with them. And because he was the best rapper at the time, he made the best music.
He did it better than them.
He did it better than
them. And that speaks to the longevity.
Yes.
He is trendy. This reminds people the celebration seems excessive to some. It reminds people of the I'm taking my talents to South Beach moment. You know, and really just opening that back up. But at the end of the day, when you're an athlete and you're as competitive as he is, you know, you want to put it all on the line. You said Kobe and Jordan, they would have went as hard. I think all the guys in the NBA went hard.
Mm-hmm.
They were getting, what, $500,000 per man to the winning team?
Yeah.
LeBron was the first one. He, on his resume, he's the first one to win tournament MVP.
He said you can't take the first away.
You cannot take it away. Yeah. Even in the process, he's averaging almost 26 points, 8 rebounds, 6 or 7 assists at 38 years old. This is a guy who's transcended the position, the game, you know, the longevity. He's doing things that so many of these guys probably aspire to do, you know, and he's continuing to push the mark higher and higher to the point where it's going to take almost not twice as much, but maybe as long to reach those numbers and break those marks. LeBron, in my opinion, I call him the GOAT. He's my greatest of all time.
I didn't even want to get to the conversation of the greatest. I wanted to get into the conversation of the fact that, like, I feel like LeBron takes shots based on what we considered or how we considered greatness should behave that he shouldn't because he's different.
Let me tell you this, because you just said he's different, right? This is something I had to get across. I had to get over with LeBron, because I respect the hell out of this man. And y'all know, people call me a LeBron hater all the time. I had to get over this with him. LeBron is not going to punch nobody in their face.
He shouldn't, though.
And he shouldn't. And I respect it. He is an ecosystem. LeBron understands he's a businessman. He's been the chosen one. He was on the front of Sports Illustrated when he was 15 years old. If you disrespect Michael Jordan, you're getting punched in your face. You disrespect Kobe, you're getting hit in your face. You disrespect LeBron, he's gonna yell Taco Tuesday and play on Instagram. And now is the thing I had to get over with him, and it made me think about it. I swear to God, RC, it made me think about it when you were talking about him adjusting, him being this younger superstar. We were used to our dogs being dogs.
All the time.
Bitch, what you say? And we the same way you were talking about earlier, like, I know, and even Freddie's laid back. let you say too much shit to Fred, Fred gonna dive on your ass. LeBron is not made like that. I had to get to the conclusion that the best athlete in the world I live in is never gonna hit anybody. We saw it recently last year. Some little crazy dude with dreads was chasing LeBron around the court. There was a 5'1" security guard holding LeBron back. LeBron's the strongest thing in the world. LeBron does not wanna fight. He doesn't wanna mess up his legacy. He doesn't wanna be that physical guy, the Draymond Enforcer guy. LeBron is never gonna be that. I've accepted that, and now me and LeBron cool, because it was a point also, I had to get to where my superstars are supposed to be killers, and LeBron's not built like that.
That's the thing, though. It's an extremely different era. LeBron is different in many ways, and also, he's been the chosen one since very young.
Right.
Whereas those other two guys that we spoke of grew up in different eras. Like, people always act like nobody tried Michael Jordan. A lot of people tried Michael Jordan. He just was about that. Whether it was Xavier McDaniel, you know, the Reggie Millers, like, Mike didn't care. He's like, I always tell people all the time, they always think, like, fighting means you think you can win every fight. Fighting actually means you can wear an ass whipping. That's truly, like, the willingness to fight only means, truthfully, that I can wear losing. Because what keeps most people from not doing it is that fear, yep. Right? And so I think LeBron being chosen at that time, because everybody thinks about him growing up in the projects, people wasn't going to let LeBron fight. They was going to make sure he didn't, and that's smart. And so as he got older, he never had to do that. Then he put people around him that protected him from doing that. And then now on the court, he understands the way he's looked at. He never wants to be looked at as Draymond. And we might think differently because of who he is, but, like, the way I see him is this. Played in the in-season tournament. It mattered. He went and won it. Mm-hmm. The next day, he went and sat at courtside and watched his son play ball.
Yep.
Right? Like, that's the thing to me that I love, that he said that he can go play the way he did in the in-season tournament, but say, hey, man, when Bronny makes his debut, especially because of the health stuff, I'm going to be there, not with y'all. Mm-hmm. Those, to me, are the things that, like, that's his true legacy. His true legacy is, for however he did it, like, to me, it's like President Obama, and I hate to, like, make this comparison. President Obama, for all you want to say about the way he was the way he performed at his job, he ain't never have a scandal. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing you can say about the man is he wore a tan suit.
That was sweet.
You know what I'm saying? And then, like, LeBron, the same thing. Like, however he's done it, he ain't never have an issue.
Nope.
And I respect that. And it's like, it's about family, you know? Oh, by the way, your boy is balling too. Tommy DeVito.
Oh, mama live with his mom and daddy? Yeah, he was throwing that biscuit the other night.
NFC you see his agent? You let that guy be your agent?
That is a cartoon character. There's no way I'm letting him deal with my money. That is ridiculous.
But that dude was like a big-time receiver at a small school in college.
Really?
Yep.
That's just his whole outfit, the way he talks.
You seen the movie Mask with Jim Carrey?
Yes.
He had the pinstripe suit on with the
brim. The mask.
Yeah, that thing tilted up.
He was like somewhere signing autographs in like a little small spot after the game, because now he's a superstar.
Yeah.
And what do you think about
DeVito?
Yeah, no, the other guy, the agent.
Oh,
yeah. What do you think about them kissing every time he does something good, though? Like, the whole family kisses.
I'm okay with the man kiss. I'm okay with the man.
You asked the wrong person.
Look at you. See, I was trying to get nasty. The New Orleans dudes, when Baby and Lil Wayne used to kiss in the mouth. I'm not okay with the kiss in the mouth. I'm not okay with the lip-to-lip. I'm okay with the Italian tradition.
Kiss on the cheek. Mwah. Yeah, Godfather.
The I'm the Godfather.
The Godfather.
That's what it goes to. I remember watching The Godfather, Casino. I remember watching them thug-ass movies back in the day.
With the shiny suits, though, in the Casino?
What? We had to ride way to the motherfucking desert just to talk.
Boy.
But we gonna kiss on the cheek.
Hey, when I see you in the desert, hot as hell, in this shiny green suit, mwah. 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 So also, Tommy DeVito's playing better than Danny Dimes. They are a better team with him. And what I say is, somebody's gonna be like, hey man, I understand like the Italian culture. I understand you getting people who you connect with, but they're gonna tell them, hey man, like if you want to ascend, if you want to be seen differently, you're gonna have to tell my man to behave differently you're gonna have to keep it, or you're gonna have to keep it from in front of the camera, or get you a new one.
But they can't do that.
They're gonna do it.
But what? But why?
The marketing people are gonna do it.
But what's the what? What's it? What's it? What? I'm with you. I agree with you, actually. But why does it make them look bad?
I don't think it makes them look bad.
Who does it make?
I think for Tommy DeVito, you know how, like, because I dealt with this, because I had a smaller agent, right? Who was like a short, bald head white dude that was country as hell from South Carolina, you know what I mean? And as I ascended, like, I had all these different agents try to sign me from him because I was becoming a better player. They felt like he wasn't a big enough agent. But to me, it was different because he drove from South Carolina to Tarrytown, Louisiana to sit in front of my parents. And he was the only agent, like every other agent, like, it's gonna be really hard for you and, you know, you probably won't get drafted and all that. And he was like, Ryan, I think you can play in this league for a decade. And I'm gonna tell everybody that, you know what I mean? And he did from the moment he met me. Like, yeah. That's what he did, you know? But I do know that that would be every agent's pitch to me. Mm-hmm. Like, well, he don't have a lot of big guys. You think they're gonna, you know what I mean? And so I do think as he continues to ascend, if he does, like, that's gonna be part of it. But I also understand him. Like, you think of, like, the David Mulugetas of the world.
Yeah.
And the way that he connects to the young African-American players in ball, speaking the same language, having their back, understanding their culture. I think this is a lot like that, you know. But I just think your point was wrong. You can actually have your mother cook your breakfast and right. your dinners, have her make your bed, have your girls have to call the house and be like, hey, may I speak to Tommy, yeah. and be a really good quarterback.
No, you got to. He ain't getting no sex.
Look, as long as he keeps the main thing, everything gonna be all right. Everything's gonna work out. But as soon as he loses a game in New York City, what that media gonna do?
They gonna kill him.
They gonna roast. They gonna ride him. And then they're gonna say these are distractions. All of the stuff that we see and we cheer out there, they're gonna say these are distractions.
I don't feel like he does enough.
It's cute till he's not cute.
Well, I don't care because I'm trying to get Shohei Ohtani money anyway.
Oh,
not in that manner.
Bro, Shohei Ohtani got a 10-year deal for $700 million, and it's because he's a freaking unicorn, right? He's like modern-day Babe Ruth.
Ace, power hitter.
Ace and a power hitter. But he's not going to pitch this year. He has to have, I think, another UCL procedure, right? So he's not going to pitch this year. He's going to make $70 million, but he either made so much money before, he gonna make so much money off the field. He's deferred $68 million of $70 million every year until 2034.
That's $680 million for the slow people out there. Ain't no way.
And he makes no interest off of him.
No
when he
interest.
Gets...
Whoever allow him to sign that deal needs to be fired. They need to go and assess the Dodgers organization because that shit ain't right.
You know what it is, right? So what they did it for is the luxury tax. So now if Fred Taylor is the best first baseman available, I can use that money and go get you because I don't have to pay the above and beyond luxury tax. And to him, he still gets his money. He's already rich, right? And we have to think about the way the Japanese are going to flock for sponsorships, partnerships, buy his jersey. He doesn't need that money at the time. And he's showing the team, hey, I want to win.
I want
to. When I initially heard it, it reminded me of the whole Tom Brady thing. When Tom didn't go out there to go and get the biggest deals for quarterbacks, and they were able to bring some guys in and put guys around him, and then that equaled success. $2 million a year, though, maybe 10. Or at least half.
Yeah,
maybe 35. He got 35. I mean, it's just the $2 million.
Y'all are correct.
And deferring 68, that's a lot.
Y'all are
and
correct.
And it's interest, no interest at all. That's a lot of money to just allow somebody else to hold for you.
Freddie.
What happens, and I know this is probably kind of ridiculous. Can the Dodgers sell or file bankrupt in 5, 6, 7 years and not have to pay him? Not
guarantee, you gotta get his money.
That's his bread.
But if they file bankrupt, what happens?
They aren't Dodgers.
I know they won't. They ain't the Marlins. They the Dodgers.
I know they won't, but like, we've seen crazier shit happen in the world.
y'all are thinking
you
about
can't
this.
Hold 68
this
million
is a
in my
business
mind.
Perspective. Y'all are thinking about it. Y'all are genius businessmen, and I love y'all. This is genius. What if he goes out? He had a little Instagram model girlfriend. I just saw a video about it. What if he go out and have a baby? What if he goes out and knocks somebody up? What if he gets married and divorced?
So now she can't get the child support
now
money at 70 million?
Now she can't get the big sack, RC. Now she can't get the big sack. I can go fuck off. I'm going to have some money. I can go fuck off. And then when I get old and I can't pitch no more, I'm about to hit him for 600 million more. Hey, yo, after that, and then...
Chang, what is it? If he has a baby now, the baby's going to be like 8 by the time he retires.
Listen, and then once you retire... your whatever you made while you were together with her, once you retire, they can't get that money. So if you're retired, that money after you retire is yours. This is genius for him to go fuck off. Shohei Ohtani is about to be one of the most famous people in the world. He gonna be knocking down things left and right.
Chan,
if he fucks up, they can't get the sack.
Fuck you, Chan. What'd you say for it is?
That's the way. Hey,
listen,
think about this.
No, it's
he's
still
getting
income.
$2 million
it's
a
deferred
year.
Income.
No, Fred.
10 years.
If he has
a baby,
okay, Fred,
this year,
Fred,
when he's done, the baby's nine.
And got to pay child
then
support.
Then he has 9 more years to pay child
at
support on deferred
and
for money.
From the 680 he's
going
to get.
The 680. But he's paying child. If Shohei Ohtani skied in somebody tomorrow, 9 months later, they have a baby. She's not getting $700 million worth of child support. She's getting $2 million worth of child support.
Yeah. Okay. For 9 years.
Hey, it's genius.
For 9 years. Hey.
It's genius.
Hey.
And Showtan, I know he be
F. You Chan.
I can tell.
F. You Chan.
That's not the safe word,
F. You Chan.
That's not the safe word.
This is genius.
What's the safe word?
F. You Chan.
Fuck you, Chan. Gotta say it with a little bass, too.
It's like the same thing. Well, so, Chan, best of luck to you.
Thank you.
I hope you kill it. I know you will. And they throw tomatoes at you. Make ketchup.
You come up on that stage and try to slap me like Chris Rock.
You heard what Tracy Morgan said.
Listen.
Tracy Morgan said he bring a bat.
I whoop some ass. It's going to turn to a UFC fight. You have to talk about me, RC, and DC if a bitch come on that stage.
It's DC and RC, but it's like the same.
With all the C's.
Yeah. Freddie T, what are you doing this weekend?
This weekend, I'll be heading up to Jack's to support my team. Hopefully, they'll jump off this 2-game skid that they're on.
But you
on.
Say your team. What you mean support your team?
Not this team, my team, but the Jaguars, my football team. So
I
got to work
that
this
team.
Weekend. Oh, we just had our official launch on Wednesday. We revealed the name of the team, which is Sporting Club Jacks.
Mm-hmm.
We broke down the shield, the crest, the colors. We gave a whole rundown, our mantra, motto, talked about the roadmap, what we're going to do in the community in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. For the youth sports, the development league. We have a men's and women's team, Super League of the USL, D1 League for the women's. The good thing about this and why I decided to invest and be a part of ownership was that being in the Jacksonville community since 98, since I was drafted there, right? You could look at certain demographics and see the lack of.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the roadmap included, it spoke to influence, impact on the community, but most of all, inclusivity. And what we're gonna do to bridge the gap between North Side, West Side, East Side, all of the surrounding areas in the counties, the 7 counties of the First Coast. It's beautiful, man. The facilities, travel leagues, like I said, local youth development with all sports. Becky Burley, who led the Gators to their first soccer championship in 98. She's a beast in coaching. So yeah, we got some strategic stuff aligned. So yeah, it just made sense for me.
Good,
it
man.
Made sense. So hey, I just needed to see paperwork.
Ain't no hey, gotta see the paperwork first.
Becky Burley, the head coach of the Gators soccer team.
Yeah.
Yeah. She hated me.
Cause you was probably messing with her girls, man.
Running
Let the girls
running
win.
Through that soccer team.
But they was nice though.
They got their
No,
they
I'm
athletic.
Talking about on the pitch.
Was y'all running through there like Giannis was
no,
trying to get his
pitch.
Basketball? Giannis was pissed off about his basketball.
Wow.
He scored 64 points, and the Pacers took his basketball, and they say they took it because he wanted the basketball. It's historic. It's the most points ever scored in Milwaukee Bucks history. I think it's like Lou Alcindor or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I think it's Brandon Jennings had like 55, Brandon Jennings, you know. So it's the most ever scored, and they took the basketball to give to like a guy that scored like his first basket or something like that. And the word is he didn't even get the real basketball. They gave him like the backup game.
He wants Mike Ball.
Huh?
He's not the game ball.
Yeah, but did you see the dude trying to hold him that was chasing him? Y'all were running off on my man. My man did not sign up for that. Like, but yeah, Giannis is pissed off, man. Yeah. But I am actually going to Jaden's graduation. She's getting her master's.
Wow.
Yep. So she's getting her master's. She's giving her commencement speech.
Yeah. That's two in grad school.
Yeah.
Jaden's done.
Jaden's done now.
And Jordan.
Jordan's finishing. Has another year left. And so I guess the last time I talked about her was around Thanksgiving last year. And, you know, some things have changed, some things haven't. So I think the biggest thing that I wanted to, like, leave everybody with is, you know, you have kids, I have kids. Like, I've been reflecting on what it is to be a parent, you know, and how hard we all try to do the right thing. You know, we're talking about things and decisions you're making for your babies with schooling and tennis and baseball and football, Freddie T, all the decisions you have to make, you know, for your boys now as they continue to grow. And when your daughter gets to that age and she's getting her master's, you're like, okay, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? And the biggest thing about kids is, like, there's no playbook to it. There's no plan, and the plan has to, and your thought process is gonna be different with all of them because they're different. Mm-hmm. Right, and you're not going to do everything right, and they're not going to agree with you all the time. And also, as they get older, they'll tell you what they believe you did wrong.
Amen to that. My daughter, right. I got that text.
Yeah, you know, and then
a call.
Yeah,
and I felt like shit.
Yeah,
and not that she aimed to do that, but bro, they let you know.
Yeah, you know, and you listen. And I think what I tell y'all, at least in this point in my life, is that making the decisions you make for your children with their best intentions at heart because you're in love with them is never wrong. Even if they tell you, when you did this, when you were standing in front of me, or when you were here, or when you put me here, if they tell you that was wrong, it's okay because you were there. The only mistake I believe you can make in parenting is not showing up. Because if you show up, at least every story they have to tell about you in the biggest moments was that you were there. And if they say, when you were there, you did this and I didn't appreciate it, or I don't think it was the right decision, you could say, but at least I was there. And I think that's the thing I'm gonna take away from tomorrow is, even though things with my family are what they are, I did my best and I was always there. And so I think that would be my advice to Chan, for sure, with having young babies. Fred, you still have younger ones. Just be there, man, and be there as your best self. And, you know, because it's the most important job in the world, you'll always think about what you could have done differently, but I don't think you ever want to have to think to yourself, did I or did I not show up? Because showing up is what we control. And
appreciate you, brother.
Fuck you, Chan.
We got one.
I made him cut.
Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling got me up. On the mission got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. Only vision I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling got me up.